Welcome to the Crypto Gamer Podcast, your source for finding fun and profits in crypto games. I'm your slightly knowledgeable host, Nate. I am not a financial advisor, just a gamer speculating. And this episode, we are going to be talking with the co-founder of Faraway, Alex Paley. Now, Faraway is a game developer and publishing studio that recently secured nearly $30 million of funding. They were also included in the announcement from Solana Ventures, Lightspeed Venture Partners, and FTX that announced a $100 million investment initiative centered around Web3 gaming. So this is super exciting news, the amount of resources that are being poured into blockchain gaming. Now, before we get into our interview with Alex, I want to give you guys a little bit of background into their first game, Mini Royal Nations. Now, this is the first live multiplayer game on the Solana blockchain platform, and it's already playable, which is awesome. I'll leave some links in the show notes for where you can play this game and their Discord channel. So Mini Royale Nations is a first-person shooter that includes modes such as Battle Royale, Team Deathmatch, and Capture the Flag, along with other special modes that will come and go. Faraway really wants to push the social aspect of this game, with clans and alliances making up a very important aspect of it. Now, currently there are no blockchain aspects as of yet in this game, but as soon as NFTs are introduced and playable in the game in December of 2021, so this year, the game will officially be on the Solana blockchain, so really soon and very exciting. Now, Mini Royale will have a 2-token system, which they will be releasing in 2022. These tokens will be the utility token, Cheddar, and their governance token, Royale. Now, Cheddar will be earnable in-game when the token economy is released, and players can earn Cheddar as a reward for different social activities in the game like clan wars or alliance world events. Players will then be able to sell Cheddar to others on a crypto exchange of their choice. All right, now that we have sort of a cursory knowledge of this game and Faraway, let's get into our interview with the co-founder of Faraway, Alex Paley. All right, so we are joined today by Alex Paley, a co-founder of Faraway. Alex, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Yeah, just right off the bat, I'd love to get your background in the industry and what sort of drew you towards wanting to create projects on the blockchain.
I mean, I've been making games since I was in high school, so I've been in the industry for a while.
Yeah,
I've actually been working with my co-founder for over a decade now. And we grew up together, so we've known each other since we were 11 years old. So we go way back, and it's been great to start this new adventure with him. We started making games, back in high school. That leveled up into starting a game studio out of college. We eventually sold that studio to Glu Mobile, where we were heads of studio. And then most recently, we were VPs of product at Scopely. We were in the mid-core division, so that means we worked across titles like the WWE Champions game, The Walking Dead, Looney Tunes, basically all mid-core games. So that's our specialty, mid-core games, more complex economies.
Okay.
And what drew us to blockchain, I mean, this is finally a technology that enables these open and decentralized economies that we just found it to be incredibly exciting and sort of the next evolution of where gaming's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you on that. So I'd really like to hear what sort of your vision is for Faraway and sort of its role in the metaverse.
Yeah, so our goal for Faraway is, we're making these hyper-social games with player-driven economies. And that's our vision. We want to make these incredibly social games. We want to have these open economies that players can, do whatever they want. Players can own their own assets. They have governance in how their game and how their world evolves over time. And that's what excites us. And that's our mission at Faraway right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I was reading about you guys and your first game, Mini Royale, it's the first multiplayer game on the Solana blockchain. So I'd really like to know, what is it about the Solana blockchain that made you want to pursue that sort of as your blockchain of choice, not just for this current game, Mini Royale, but for the future moving on?
Yeah, I mean, it's the most scalable blockchain. So super fast transaction speeds, 65,000 transactions per second, and super cheap transaction costs. And when you're making a complex, real-time multiplayer game, those two things are incredibly important. So that's more from the quantitative side of things. Now, when you look at more at the qualitative side of things, the community is huge and the ecosystem is, you know, rapidly expanding. So I don't think a lot of people know this about Solana, but it's the number two chain when it comes to NFT volume. And I believe it's the number three chain when it comes to DeFi volume. So there's a ton of projects moving into, you know, moving onto Solana, and a ton of excitement in the ecosystem. And for gaming, it was just sort of a no-brainer for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes total sense. So along with Mini Royale, what other types of projects are you guys looking at? Are there things in the pipeline that you're able to share with us?
I mean, the big thing is we just need to make Mini Royale as good of a game as it can possibly be right now. We have so many things on our roadmap. We're talking to the community constantly. Yeah. About what types of things that they're looking for. Because the way that we're approaching this is we want to build this game with our community. Like, I think I'm, you know, if not the biggest contributor as far as messages go to our Discord, at least top three. Because I think it's incredibly important, especially if you're creating an open economy game, to build with the community. So I think there's plenty on the roadmap for Mini Royale Nations to keep us occupied for years. But then, you know, we are, of course, thinking about, like, what games would we make next? And we believe in making, like, really approachable games. So games that don't have a lot of friction to onboard. And that's the main reason that we went after making a shooter to begin with, right? It's like everybody, you know, sort of understands immediately how to play a shooter. There's a reason that, you know, on Twitch, like, 6 or 7 out of the top 10 games are shooters. It's like a very well understood genre. You know, it expands like all age demographics, all gender all genders. Like, yeah, it's a really, really easy to onboard people into a shooter. And then from the shooter, I'm sure you saw the white paper. It's like the shooter evolves into this more land strategy type of meta.
Yes. And
I was gonna say, to answer your question, where we're looking at other types of shooters. Mm-hmm. We're pretty intrigued by, like, making more co-op oriented shooters. I think Mini Royale is very PvP-esque. We are adding PvE elements to it, but maybe as a second game, we're exploring, like, PvE looter shooters, which is like a Borderlands equivalent with, like, a more complex, like, economy meta on top of it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like in the blockchain space, there's definitely sort of a void, when it comes to shooters. In the game, you see a lot of card games right now, a lot of people going after MMOs, but yeah, like you said, shooters are one of the most popular game modes. So it's very interesting. That's been sort of neglected early on in this space.
Yep. No, totally. I mean, you even learn from mobile, there's a reason that shooters always have the lowest CPIs. I think when you compare, like, on mobile free to play, I'm talking about, like, when you compare a shooter to a strategy game or to an MMO, right? It's like you acquire a user, you know, iOS, US for a shooter, maybe it's like 35 cents. And then to acquire, like, a card battler type of player or an MMO type of player, I mean, you're talking, you know, north of, you know, $7-$8, right? So it's just, yeah, it's just, you know, when a person sees, hey, this is a shooter, they say, like, okay, I know exactly how to play this. Like, why don't I try this? Because there really is no learning curve. And our one of our, like, beliefs is that there's just so much friction when it comes to, like, onboarding onto, like, what is a blockchain? What is a fungible token? What is a non-fungible token? What is a liquidity pool? Like, there's so much to understand that we didn't also want players to need to onboard so in such, like, an extensive way into how do I play your game? We wanted just a game genre that people immediately understood and knew how to play and could get to the fun, like, extremely quickly.
Absolutely. And I also, I really enjoy what you said about being active on the Discord. I feel like that's something that is so important, especially in this space where you're not sure which games are legitimate and which are not. And the amount of feedback that you can get from the creator or people on the team is so important. And I feel like you're seeing that more and more in blockchain gaming.
Yeah, I mean, our community is awesome. We get so many awesome suggestions from them. And then, you know, it's great because we don't have to think about like, or hypothesize like, what do our players want, right? They just tell us. And then we just talk with them and say, hey, this is doable in this specific time window. And then we just go out and build it. So it's a really awesome feedback loop that we have.
Yeah, definitely. So with Mini Royale Nations, and you guys are going to be incorporating blockchain in the next month, according to your roadmap. I was just wondering, what is sort of your philosophy with how you want to add sort of this blockchain functionality to the game?
So we want to do it gradually. This is obviously when you add any blockchain element, like making a mistake is a lot more serious than if you were making a non-blockchain game. So we're adding NFTs first. So all your avatars in game will be NFTs, right? So your characters, your weapon skins, stuff like that. And then we're adding our token economy. So our fungible token economy in the first half of next year. And that's where I think the economy really starts to become a lot more vibrant, right? That's where you have this land meta, you are owning land, you're taking over other people's land. That land is producing, you know, resources. You use those resources to, you know, upgrade your weapons, you know, attack other players, participate in clan wars, take over nations, stuff like that. So yeah, I think the way that we're thinking about it is that there are two stages. Like one is introducing NFTs, and that's like the first taste for players and like onboarding them into like, hey, here's your avatar. This is why you need a wallet, because if you connect your wallet, now you'll be able to play with the avatar that you bought. And the second stage is, you know, now introducing a lot more of the complex like fungible token economy. And for that, we're basically, so we have our white paper, which is whitepaper.miniroyale.io. And right now we're just battle testing and trying to break our own white paper, because we need to make sure that when we do release our fungible token economy, like we have battle tested all edge cases, because we don't want to, you know, have to go to the community and say like, hey, we didn't think of this. We need to now revert something.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you sort of touched on this a little bit, sort of how you want the social aspect of the game to be sort of up front and center. Can you go into a little detail about sort of the clans and alliances in Mini Royale and how people are going to be working together and earning together?
Yeah, so that just touches on our mission, right? We are making social games. And for us, like the concept of like cryptocurrency and the blockchain and Solana and all of that, and like what a custodial wallet is or a non-custodial wallet is, we're hoping to eventually just abstract that complexity completely away. Like we want players to just know that they are now operating within an open economy where they own their own assets and can govern how the game evolves over time. So for us, like social is much, much more important than the earning. Like we do not consider this a play to earn game. We consider this an open economy game. So right now the role of clans and the role of alliances is that the only way that you can accrue something of true value, like true exchange tradable value, is by participating, you know, with your clan, you know, competing in these clan wars or clan events, collaborating with other clans. So alliances is, it's a clan of clans mechanic. So you team up with other clans and you do stuff that, you know, you as your clan couldn't do yourself. And that just goes back to like how we're viewing clans to begin with, where we're saying that, you know, you must work with others to achieve something of like true value. So all of the earning, so we have two tokens. We have Cheddar, which is our inflationary utility token, and we have Royales, which is our deflationary governance token. The only way to earn Cheddar is actually by participating in these social activities, because we don't want the scenario where people are not socializing and they're earning something of, you know, of exchange tradable value, because I think people always that sort of devolves into a pure play to earn type of game, and I think that'll be unhealthy for like the long term, you know, the long term health of our ecosystem.
I really like how you're touching on that. The main philosophy isn't play to earn, because I feel like so many games, especially right now, they're sort of focusing on the cryptocurrency aspect of things. And then they're sort of tacking on a game afterwards, where you guys are kind of going the other route. You already have this fully functional game that's being polished. And then you're sort of adding the blockchain aspects afterwards, and then the token economy even later after that. I really like that model.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly correct. I mean, for us, right, like I was saying, we want a social game. Like, this is game first. Mm-hmm. And we're just saying that open economies are objectively more interesting for our players than a closed economy. So, you know, like I said, we don't consider ourselves a blockchain game. We don't consider ourselves a play to earn game. We consider ourselves open, like a game with an open economy that's leveraging blockchain in order to create that open economy.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the questions that I really like to ask people that sort of has nothing to do with their individual projects, but more of their personal opinion is, what would you say is sort of the biggest misconception that there is right now about blockchain gaming and the blockchain space, especially by non-adopters?
I think a lot of people think that like the blockchain space is, you know, scammy or predatory. But I don't really think that, because I think players have always wanted two things. Like, from a game, they've always wanted true ownership of the assets that they buy, and they've always wanted the ability to govern how their game evolves over time. And at least I can talk about gaming. At least for gamers, like, yeah, they would never say no to those two things. And the blockchain just enables those two things by default. So yeah, we don't think it's scammy. We don't think it's predatory. Like, if anything, we think that this is objectively better for our players and serves their best interest.
Totally agree. That's all I got for you, Alex. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to answer some questions and give us a rundown sort of on Faraway and Mini Royal Nations. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. It was really great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So once again, a big thank you to Alex for taking the time to talk to us. With that, let's get into our final verdict. So Faraway clearly has big plans for their platform, and I am super excited to see where they are going in 2022 and what other games they will bring to their ecosystem. As for Mini Royal Nations, the blockchain space has really been clamoring for more first-person shooters, with Light Knight really being the only other playable one right now. Like I said earlier, this game is not quite on the blockchain yet, but with NFTs coming in December, this is right around the corner, and also their tokens being released super soon, it will be interesting to see what the earning potential is like for this game once those tokens do release next year. For now, you should definitely check this game out, as it is already playable, completely free to play, and they have an active community of over 3,000 players playing daily. They also keep coming out with new content like new seasonal maps, characters, weapons, buildings, and game modes. They have an active Discord, so make sure you check out all the happenings there. Alright, that's all for today. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe and throw a review my way. It means a lot, and it helps to grow my channel. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram for when future episodes come out. Details will be in the show notes. Also, feel free to message me on what you're playing and what you want to hear in the future. Thanks, and happy NFT hunting!